You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Paul Menieri talks a little LSU baseball as the Tigers head to Kentucky. Get you some clarification on the Sharon Lewis lawsuit against, well, everybody. But I want to start with the big news that came down Wednesday afternoon. LSU sophomore forward Trendon Watford, as expected, has declared for the 2021 NBA draft. Made the announcement on social media. He is hiring an agent, so Trendon Watford's career at LSU is over. Watford becomes the first of LSU's noted Big Four to make the announcement, as we're expecting similar decisions soon from Cam Thomas and Darius Days and Javonte Smart. A part of what Trendon Watford wrote, to the greatest university of them all, thank you for embracing a kid from Birmingham, Alabama as one of your own. It's been an honor to wear the purple and gold. These past 2 years have been a complete joy. From my current teammates to the past teammates, thank you all for constantly pushing me and allowing me to grow as a player. Without you guys, none of this would be possible. He went on to thank his coaches, his family, his loved ones, thank the fans, and announce that he is headed off to the NBA. Watford, this year, past year as a sophomore, averaged 16.7 boards, nearly 3 assists a game, shot just under 50% from the floor. He certainly struggled from the free throw line, and that's a place where he has room to grow. But he was first-team All-SEC. He was part of the SEC All-Tournament team after a dominant performance there in the SEC Tournament, coming up just shy in the championship game against his home state school there at Alabama. Now, when you look for LSU, so a quick thought on Watford. Number one, there's a lot of LSU fans that are going to think Watford should come back. You're just wrong. I said the same thing about Naz Reid a couple of years ago when LSU fans said he should come back. There are just not many humans that are that size with soft hands that have the handle and ability to bring the ball up, that can shoot a mid-range jumper, that can get to the rim and finish, that can handle the basketball. He's one of those guys, and that's what the NBA is becoming. The stretch four, the big man that can step away from the basket and shoot, his floaters in the lane, he's a master at it. Trendon Watford is going to be drafted, and he is going to be a very good professional basketball player for a long time. When he signed with LSU, he was the 18th best prospect in America and number one prospect in Alabama. Picked LSU over Bama, Memphis, and others, came to the Tigers, started for 2 years. Good team guy, good energy guy. And he will be a really good pro. Now, when you look at LSU for next season, it is very clear what it is that LSU is looking for as of now. I mean, you're going to lose very likely the four guys that we mentioned. And so you are going to be overhauling this roster. We've already seen LSU dip into the grad transfer market. And you know you're going to return some guys who played a good amount for you this past season. Well, Jalen Cook will emerge as your point guard. You're going to return Eric Gaines, who played a lot late. Maybe you get a little more out of Josh Gray. Andre Hyatt played valuable minutes down the stretch. Josh LeBlanc was a good contributor off the bench. Hopefully, Sharif O'Neal is healthy and back. Imwani Wilkinson will be back as well and could potentially give you more minutes. But what LSU lacked this year was a true rim protector and a true ball handler. They'll likely get the ball handler in Jalen Cook. Will they be able to find size and rim protection? That certainly is the big task for Will Wade this offseason for his basketball program. But Trendon Watford makes it official, the first LSU Tiger to declare for the NBA draft. He's hiring an agent, so his time in Baton Rouge is over. Okay, it is the Locked On LSU podcast brought to you by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Check it out online, rockauto.com. They've been online for 20-some-odd years already. They're a family business that has grown to incredible size because the service they provide is incredible. Literally every part from every make and model for any vehicle that you need. If you're a classic or daily driver, from carburetors to carpet or even motor oil and windshield wipers. They have it online at rockauto.com, and they deliver it directly to your door. Rockauto.com, rockauto.com. Check them out right there. Easy to navigate on the left side of the homepage. If it's Fiat or Ferrari, it's all right there. And then you can narrow it down based on the vehicle you're looking for or the search tab at the top of the page. When you get to checkout, be sure to write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us tab, and we'll be right there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, LSU baseball, they head to Kentucky. Three-game series in Lexington against the Wildcats. New ballpark there in Lexington. The old Cliff Hagan Stadium has been replaced with their new ballpark, which is a $60 million gem, as you've seen a lot of SEC schools go that route. We'll give you a full preview of LSU-Kentucky on Friday's episode, but here was Paul Maneri giving a thumbnail on the Wildcats.
I know I sound like a broken record when I say this, but Kentucky's got a really good ball club. They had a big win last night at Louisville. Louisville, I think, was ranked fourth or fifth in the country, and you know their weekend arms are really, really good. Their team ERA is about a three. I think they're the third leading hitting team in the league. I'm surprised the record's not better than it is. It's stout, but you know it's not, you know, like 24-3 or something like some of the top teams. Statistically, they're strong. I watched them play a couple of games when they swept Auburn at Auburn, and they just looked like a real energetic, enthusiastic team like they always are, play with a lot of emotion, very tough. And so obviously we're going to have to go in there and play with a lot of energy and enthusiasm, play extremely well, and just play them one game at a time and find a way to get the job done.
Now, maybe the best news that came on Wednesday for LSU baseball was Zach Arnold. He was hit on the hand in the game on Tuesday night against McNeese. Post-game, Paul Maneri did not sound optimistic. Well, the news got a little better on Wednesday.
The news is good on Zach Arnold, no fracture. I'm kind of surprised. It was ugly last night. It looked like a golf ball on the back of his hand. For a lay person like me, not a medical person, it looked like a disformed a hand, you know, like I thought it was a broken bone that had been displaced and so forth, but it turned out to be just fluid buildup. He's got a very sore hand, and I got to find out and see if you know, it's going to be, you know, playable or not. That'll be the question now, but it's not a fracture. So that's good news. We know it'll be temporary. Whether or not he'll be available or not this weekend is now what we got to find out.
You can hardly blame Paul Maneri for being skeptical and feeling like he was a bit snake bitten and that they wouldn't get great news on Arnold, but that is really good news. Again, we've talked about it a bunch here. I'll sacrifice defense for a bat at this point when LSU's hitting right at about 200 in conference play. And Arnold is a guy that is a better bat. He's a better option than Collier Cranford in the box. And he has played shortstop for you as well, so I don't mind having his glove at second base if I get that bat in the lineup. So we shall see if the swelling goes down, if Arnold's able to hit this weekend or if he'll miss the weekend. But good news is that they haven't lost him for the year. Now, they have lost Jaden Hill for the year, so what does that mean for the rotation? We know Marceau on Friday night. It'll be A.J. Labus on Saturday. Paul Maneri has said it's going to be TBA Sunday. But apparently one freshman, Garrett Edwards, has been pretty aggressive and been lobbying for that spot.
He wants badly to be that third starter. I can tell you that. He texted me the other day after the game and he was really politicking for it. He believes he can give us 5+ innings, and he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And he displays that when he's out there on the mound. So, you know, I didn't really converse with him after the game. I just kind of gave him a pat on the back and told him nice job. And he did do a nice job.
That will completely come down to how the first two games play out, and it's totally situational. I'll give you an example. If LSU's in a seven, if Marceau gives you seven innings on Friday and you're leading 7-1, I mean, you're not going to go to Helmers or to Floyd or to any of the arms you're going to count on. You're going to give the ball to Vetmeyer and to George and some of your veterans just to see if you can get those final six outs, and hopefully you don't have to go to any of your more reliable arms right now. I'd say the same thing for Saturday, depending on how it goes to A.J. Labus. If you need Garrett Edwards to go get you three outs to win a ball game, you're putting Garrett Edwards in the ball game to go get you three outs to win it. I mean, you're in that kind of desperation mode. It's got to be an all-hands-on-deck Friday. And if you get that win, then it's all-hands-on-deck Saturday. And then you figure out Sunday. But if it comes down to it, and LSU's able maybe to win comfortably one of the first two games, and they could have Edwards available, I'd love to see him in that role. Remember, he was the first guy out of the bullpen this season, the first game of the season. He was the first reliever that we saw. So he is a great athlete, a lot of moxie, and a kid that clearly this coaching staff trusts and may very well be the guy who gets the ball on Sunday for the Tigers. Okay, we'll give you a full preview of LSU-Kentucky tomorrow on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe. However you get your podcast, we appreciate you for being here. We appreciate our sponsors like BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag, I've used them for about a decade now. Literally started my account in 2010, and I've used BetOnline.ag for a decade. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and it's fun. It's always more fun when you get a little action on the game. So, you want to bet on college? Well, can't bet on college baseball, but college basketball just finished. But if you want to bet on the NBA, you want to bet on Major League Baseball, the Masters starts today. You want to get your Masters wagers in? You can do it. BetOnline.ag, free to sign up. When you make your first deposit of funds, use the welcome code LOCKEDON. One word, LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag. The NFL Draft is weeks away. Time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL Draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, big news this week has been that LSU senior administrator Sharon Lewis is filing suit against, well, everybody, against LSU, against Scott Woodward, against King Alexander, against Les Miles, against Virge Osbury, Miriam Seeger, Taylor Porter Law Firm. Like I said, everybody. Well, her attorneys held a press conference on Wednesday announcing the lawsuit. We called on John McClendon, a Baton Rouge attorney who's handled many high-profile cases, to try to explain some of these goings-on in terms that we can all understand, so as to avoid just having lawyers on either side use all their legal jargon and lobby for their client. So we talked about a lot, and I began with his reaction.
It's a 28-page lawsuit. I think the thing that was most surprising to me is they brought this as what we call a civil RICO lawsuit, which is a very complicated area of law, but basically these people are alleging a pattern of racketeering activity, but a pretty harsh language. But racketeering activity is they listed as any one of 35 crimes. And if you look at paragraph 130 of this lawsuit, they're alleging that the enterprise, which engaged in this racketeering activity, is a group of people. And they're claiming that they engaged in a pattern of bribery, mail fraud, wire fraud, and obstruction of justice. So that's what shocked me the most when I read this. I thought it was really a retaliation lawsuit, but it's really not.
What then would have classified a retaliation lawsuit?
Well, you know, if you read the allegations, she makes reference to retaliation. But when that's the factual allegations. But when you get to the legal part of the petition or the complaint, she's not alleging, she's not citing any laws that say LSU or any of these numerous defendants violated. They're in a retaliation aspect. They're saying, she's saying that they engaged in a conspiracy of a pattern of racketeering activity. And again, the racketeering activities she cited were bribery. I don't know what they're talking about there. Mail fraud means you use the United States mail to perpetrate a fraud. Wire fraud, which means email, basically these days used to be fax. So while there are factual allegations about retaliation, I don't see where she's actually cited any law that claims that they retaliated against her. So it's an interesting lawsuit.
John, would all of those things that you mentioned, wire fraud, mail fraud, would all of those things have to be proven to validate this lawsuit? Or just maybe one of those things?
Oh, no, I guess she could just prove any one of them, but okay. She has to show a pattern. Now, we'll say she's alleged a pattern dating back to 2013. She's alleged a pattern of conduct of her. she's saying, look, I repeatedly went to LSU and said, you know, complained about Les Miles and was told, you know, get another job, go do something else. You're a troublemaker, things along those lines. So she's absolutely alleged that. And I think we've heard from other sources that maybe some of that stuff about Les Miles might be true. I don't know, but I don't know where she's coming up with this bribery and mail fraud and wire fraud. She doesn't go into specifics about that. Okay. So again, that you asked me what was the most surprising, the fact that she went with a civil RICO claim.
Is there a reason why she would go with that?
Well, you get treble, which is another word for triple damages. So if she were to prove damages, if she proved that she was damaged by the activities of all these people, then a court can triple that and give her three times the damages. I don't know why she picked this number of $50 million. Most of the time you don't put a dollar amount in there. You just ask for damages that are reasonable. But I'm guessing she went with civil RICO to get attorney's fees and treble damages.
So to be, and attorney John McClendon is our guest, kind of helping us sift through some of the legalese of the lawsuit filed by Sharon Lewis today against LSU. So I was going to ask your reaction to the $50 million number. You're saying asking for specific damage is damages, a specific number, that is not customary?
Well, I will tell you, in state court, you don't plead a specific dollar amount. You ask for, the phrase we use is damages that are reasonable in the premises. My recollection is in federal court, most lawyers don't ask for monetary damages. They just ask for damages. So I'm not sure why she picked a number and why she picked $50 million. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't pay any attention to that number anyway. It doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
She has to prove damages. So she did allege at the end that her damages are lost future wages, emotional pain and distress, humiliation, loss of enjoyment of life. And look, she might prove all those. I mean, if some of these allegations are true, it sounds like she really was trying to report some stuff and was told no. So forget the $50 million. That means nothing. She's got to prove her damages, and a jury would have to agree with her and say yes, yes.
So to your point about treble damages, would that mean, again, you said ignore the $50 million, but it's hard to just throw that away because we're all focused on it right now. Would that mean $150 million?
Or
that
yeah, that but would again, be... you just got to erase that $50 million.
Okay.
That's a meaningless number. That means absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Look, back in the day in state court when you could plead dollar amounts, people would file suit for a broken arm and ask for $1 million. I mean, it was just a stupid thing. And so I just disregard numbers when I see them in lawsuits. It means absolutely nothing. Unless, of course, it's like for a specific amount, like, you know, if your medical bills are $5,000, then you can plead $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
But just forget the $50 million. That's really a meaningless number.
Okay, understood. What about, because you did allude to filing in state court versus federal court, which did they do here in the 19th?
So,
yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I'm a little confused by that because I watched the press conference and the lawyers are standing in front of state court. So I went to that's called the 19th Judicial District Court. I went to their website to see if any such lawsuit was filed, and I don't see it. The copy that I got is a lawsuit. It has not been filed yet, according to my copy, which will be filed in federal court. So I'm not sure where she's filing. I think it's going to be in federal court, but I'm not sure why they did their press conference in front of state court. Now, occasionally you'll see plaintiffs will file suit in both courts at the same time because there may be some argument about which one has proper jurisdiction. So she could be doing that.
Okay.
I mean, look, it's actually a well-drafted lawsuit. It looks like these lawyers have done this before. I don't think a lot of these people should have been named as defendants. I think a lot of them are going to get out of this lawsuit. I mean, how can you name Scott Woodward? He just got here, you know? Mm-hmm. I found that was a little bit of a stretch, but I don't know everything, so.
Could you elaborate on maybe the thought process behind naming so many people in this suit?
You know, you guess one thought is this, is you never, as a lawyer, you never want to get to trial and realize, uh-oh, I forgot to name so-and-so as a defendant. So sometimes, although it's not fair to the defendant, sometimes they'll do a shotgun approach and name every possible person that could be held responsible. And if the people are not responsible, they're going to get out of the lawsuit relatively quickly. But it can't be, you can't just make up allegations. She would have to have some basis to name them. And if she doesn't, then she can be sanctioned, in federal, especially in federal court. I don't tolerate that. So if there's no basis for the allegation against any one of these people, they'll move for sanctions against her. But, you know, why she named all these people, I don't know enough about what happened. I mean, but in the lawsuit, she certainly, she states some allegations against everybody.
Yeah. It's a mouthful. I mean, it is a, it's a lot to digest. So we appreciate a few minutes, but what about, time frame? I know that's not something that's ever definite, but what could we potentially be looking at as far as a timeline to bring this accusation to resolution?
3 years would be my guess. It's going to take a while. So you've got so many lawyers, so many defendants. You've got so many lawyers. They all have to file responses on behalf of their clients. And then there's going to be a bunch of depositions. I mean, this is going to go on for a long time. All these people are going to be deposed. So you got to coordinate calendars for how many defendants do we have here? 20? Oh. You've got roughly 20. So you got 20 lawyers that have to coordinate their calendars for depositions. Then you're going to have pretrial motions. I mean, this thing's going to go on for a long time.
Is it, I guess it's possible, but maybe the likelihood of all parties reaching a settlement before it ever gets to that point?
Yes. Yep, that's possible. It's still going to take years to get there, but I suspect if there's any merit to the lawsuit, which there could be, I mean, the stuff about Les Miles is not good, and I think we've heard it from other places. I suppose it's possible that, you know, the big players would be LSU, of course, and I guess Coach Miles. Sure, they could get together with her and reach a settlement. Yep, that could happen. That's still going to take a while to get there. That's not going to happen for quite a while.
John, who would, in my mind, I keep thinking, who pays? If LSU, the university, the board of supervisors, if they are found to be liable here, if they're guilty, do we, the taxpayers, pay that settlement?
It's a good question. LSU probably has some type of liability insurance. So you'd have to look at that policy and then have to say, well, do we cover things like this? Like, you know, of course, if it's LSU employees driving a truck and run somebody over, the liability insurance is going to pay for those damages. But it's possible that the insurance policy that LSU has might not cover things like this, but it might. You just got to see what kind of insurance they bought, but it would come out of that. If it doesn't, then it comes out of LSU's bank, and you know the taxpayers of the state might not be too happy about that. Some people want confidential settlements, but with LSU being a public entity, I doubt that would be allowed for there to be a confidential settlement.
John, before you go, is there anything else that I haven't asked that you in your mind have gone, boom, that was interesting, or just something that you think our audience should know about all of this?
No, you know, when I first saw the press conference, I didn't know what to think. But when I read the lawsuit, it's a pretty well-drafted lawsuit. It appears, I don't know these lawyers, that's from Jackson, Mississippi. It looks like they've done this before, and it looks like they know what they're doing. I would say that there's just some of these defendants don't belong in here. And I'm not going to comment on who, but some of these people, they have no business being in this lawsuit. And I suspect they'll get out of it pretty quickly. I mean, I think Coach Saban might have some problems here.
Coach Saban,
that was terrible. Yeah, that's a fraud. That's a bad slip there.
All wish that's what ended his reign in Tuscaloosa. Whatever it would take, John, damn it, I'll say Coach, it. Whatever it would take.
That was bad. Coach Miles. You know, it's really all centers around Coach Miles. And then I guess, of course, of allegedly these other members of the athletic department just ignoring Miss Lewis's complaints. You know, she apparently repeatedly complained about this. And according to this lawsuit, they wouldn't do anything about it. Now, it just seemed me to turn that into a civil RICO lawsuit. I mean, I could see some other way of doing it, but that's an aggressive approach, I'll tell you that.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast presented by Rock Auto. As this story advances, we will certainly keep you up to date. And tomorrow, we will have a full preview of the LSU baseball series at Kentucky. Until then, Locked On LSU, your team every day.